Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime, and she managed to board the ship with a large collection of stolen clothing and jewelry from Buckingham Palace.
Whoa!
Oh, girl.
Like, no one is joining us halfway through the podcast. Do you know what? If you were sort of trying to get someone back, you wouldn't go, "She got a wonky eye, and she writes real funny, and she got a stupid little bag. Come back to me, baby."
Did she get her tits chopped off?
Did she what?
Come and see the Drunk Women live on Thursday, the 1st of November at the Pleasance Theatre in London. They'll be joined by super sleuths Olivia Lee and Jenny Eclair. So get your tickets now.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello. You are listening to us, and we are the Drunk Women Solving Crime. I cannot wait to introduce this guest. Is fantastic. It is the fantastic actress Louisa Connolly Burnham. Louisa, you are best known.
This is your
for,
life.
Let me tell you what you're known for, Louisa.
Go on.
You're known for your performances in Wolf Blood, House of Anubis, and Call the Midwife, all of which were BAFTA-nominated TV series. She also appeared in the multi-award-winning short Beneath Water, for which she was nominated for Best Actress at the Queen's World Film Festival. Louisa, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Excited, ready.
And we're also here with my sidekicks, Katie and Hannah. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Great to have you. I would like to thank Prosecco. Prosecco, you've gotten me through some hard times. If there's any specific Prosecco companies that would like to sponsor us, let us know. Prosecco, the bubbly booze. Louisa, could you kick us off, please? I was wondering if you could tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this long and hard, mm-hmm. and I know that you guys have had a lot of victims, sure. And I don't know how you guys feel about this. I haven't really been a victim, but I have been a perpetrator.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nice. Now, this may jeopardize my chances of ever getting an O-1 visa and working in America, but nonetheless, should I tell this story?
That
even though
a great start
I'm not
to a
victim?
Story.
I was a kid, but I, as all kids do, I went through like a bit of like a shoplifting phase when I was like, but I was only a kid. We've all been there.
Like, as in what age though?
As in like 12,
okay,
13. That's fine,
Katie,
right?
Katie has a cut-off point at which point you will get out of our house.
When does it become that okay to you, Katie? What's the cut-off of
13.
Shoplifting?
13.
Oh, you were close. Yeah.
So you were going through a phase.
I was going through a phase, yeah. And all of my friends were, but nothing like crazy, but I did eventually get caught. I'd got a bit
you?
Cocky. And actually, in a sick kind of masochistic way, I think I kind of wanted to get caught.
Right.
Like, I don't know why, but anyway, I was shoving my shoes, which were, you know, when everyone was wearing like dolly shoes up to school, like really thin papery dolly shoes, and I just shoved my shoes full of like eyeshadow, was sort of just dragging my feet around, and they busted me, man. But they were very sweet. I went to a, you know, a fancy grammar school, so they thought I was like, you know, just going through like a phase.
Oh, you got the whole Winona Ryder
yeah,
treatment.
I Winona'd that shit. Well, I didn't do it again after that. But yeah,
I'm really confused, and I think I'm old enough to be your mom, but we don't have to explain that. We don't have to like delve into that too much. I'm really confused by the little paper dolly shoes that can fit makeup in them. What are these?
Oh, so well,
they
do you know what?
Are they like busted. The covers that you put on in a pool?
They're like
that's
a,
what I'm picturing.
A dolly shoe is like a, I guess, like a ballet pump.
Okay.
You know, that kind of style. But that the whole yeah. point is they didn't fit the eyeshadows
right,
in
right.
them. And I was just like, I don't know why. I was just shoving. I had everything in like every pocket of my shoes.
It was a cry for help.
Yeah.
What you was happening at home?
Yeah.
It was a cry for help.
Do you know, like, when I was a teenager, though, like, combat trousers were very big. Very nice.
Oh,
lots,
man.
Of pockets,
lots of pockets.
A lot of opportunity there.
A lot of shops lost a lot of money when you were a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a massive, probably a huge, like, little teenage whore, though. I wasn't wearing combat trousers. I was wearing, like, tiny little, like, skirts and shit. So all I had was my little crappy dolly shoes to put eyeshadows in.
And then what happened to you? Like, they caught you and then what?
They brought me in and they wanted to know my name and they wanted to call my dad. That was the scariest thing. But I gave them a wrong number. They couldn't get through. They wanted to know
wow.
what's... Yeah, but they let me go. I, you know, I was emotional.
Wow.
I was, you know, I confessed.
You played him like a fiddle.
I did.
Louisa,
yeah,
were you acting alone?
There,
do you have
well,
an accomplice?
Ooh. There was a girl with me. I actually can't remember her name. We're not friends anymore. I think crime really just sort of separated
now.
Us. You know, I think after going through something like that, you know, a friendship either survives or it doesn't. And
either
get
stronger or you break up.
Yeah, you know, we were just, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that it was a perpetrator story and not a victim story, but I wanted to be honest with you guys, you know.
I'm glad.
That's good.
I feel like we're going to work better together.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of crooked detectives in this room,
yeah.
And it's better that we get it out there.
John, I remember I once stole, guys, come on, efficiently. I once stole it's interesting, Louisa, tonight you bought some penny sweets because...
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I don't want to say flashbacks, but...
PTSD.
Yeah. I, you know, like you have the pick and mix, and I just whip my hand in and I just have a little sweet, pop it in my mouth. I didn't know you weren't supposed to be fair. And I popped it in my mouth and my mum was like, "What is in your mouth, Hannah?" I remember spitting it out onto her hand. Just swallow it, Hannah, to be honest. And I remember my punishment. And I was really sorry because I wouldn't normally do things like that. And I remember my punishment was that I wasn't allowed to put the pound. You know when you have a pound in the trolley and you have to put the little thing in and get the pound back? I didn't get to keep the pound. I just like to do that part of the mechanism. And they were like, "You are not doing that today, Hannah." Yeah.
That's so funny.
Never did it again.
God, your parents were
that's
tough, man.
Silent. That's like the niche kind of punishment that every parent has.
Yeah.
As well. I like how you voice the adults of the time of your
ooh,
life.
Ooh.
It's like the opposite. Like the Charlie Brown parents are a little bit more like wah wah, but yours go a little exorcist.
We don't like, literally, my parents don't sound anything like that. But there's this one impression we do of my mum, which is when she shouted at my older brother for climbing a tree in his new tracksuit. And he goes, we always do this impression where she just goes, Thomas, get out of that tree with your Adidas tracksuit on. And that's seemingly the voice I've given to her in the story, which is unfair because she has a beautiful voice.
Louisa, if you could talk to your 12-year-old self about to make some bad, bad decisions, what would you tell her?
Well, actually, you know, I think it was those bad decisions that made me the woman that I am today. And now I have, you know, respect for the law and I earn my...
mascaras.
And doesn't it feel good?
God, it feels great putting that thick shit paste on my eyes that runs and burns my eyes.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Okay, we are going to go into our true crime case. Are we ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Yes.
Okay. I am. I'll see if I can read. Okay, so here are the bare bones of the case, ladies. An offender is convicted of stealing jewelry.
It's going well.
It's going well. I wish I could get booked for like a voiceover job right now. It'd be great. Canada Dry is a great ginger ale.
You're hired.
An offender is convicted of stealing jewelry plus the portrait of... Take three. I'm so sorry. I just can't say jewelry. Yes, I can.
And I'm
so sorry. Okay. An offender is convicted of... I'm like sweating. An offender is convicted of stealing jewelry plus the portrait of a high-ranking figure and subsequently sentenced to death. The sentence is overturned, however, and the offender is exiled to another country to work as an indentured servant.
Ooh.
Mm. Question number one, was the offender male or female?
I'm just going to go female, and I reckon they were trying to steal the Mona Lisa.
Oh, nice.
Wow. I mean, judging by all of our stories, I mean, I think we're proof that, you know, female thieves are rife. So, yeah, I'll stick with female as well.
Okay.
I think it was probably a chap.
Just to be different?
Yeah, just to be different.
But
I
you
hope
really
it's
think
a,
it's,
I hope
a woman.
It's a woman.
Well,
that would be really
to
cool.
Get indentured servitude, that feels like a female punishment, but I could be wrong.
Mm. I'm going to agree, but also... knowing in my head that I have no idea what any of those
oh,
words
oh, right here, right. Yeah, I don't know what...
Excellent. The answer
means.
Is female.
Yay!
Now, based on the information I've given you, in which time period do you think the crime took place?
Indentured servitude existed.
What is it? Can we just...
And
for Louisa, can we just...
Yeah, please. For God's sake, can someone help me?
Like, obviously Hannah knows, but can
yeah.
you just tell
oh,
Louisa?
Oh, I know, but I wouldn't want to explain it to Louisa. We're friends, yeah. And I feel like... I feel like anyone else could explain it.
I hate to try to define it. I didn't anticipate...
Do you not know?
It's not on the page. Well, I do, but I don't know what like the
it's
technical...
It's like a sentence to be like a housemaid or
it's
something.
Kind of like being a slave, but I think it's a limited time, and I think sometimes there are agreements. It's like slavery for white people. It's kind of what
oh
it comes
God.
Down to.
Okay.
Do you
hashtag
know what I mean?
White privilege.
Like, yeah, which is kind of the theme of this episode, spoiler.
Ooh.
But, yeah.
Okay, well,
but so were all of our theft stories, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
So in which time period does anybody know that this was a common practice to exile somebody and
ooh,
have them sold off? And
are they sent to Australia?
Oh, very good guess. Very good guess. That is the next question. Always happening.
I'm going to say the 1700s?
Yes.
Oh,
she's bringing it back.
Detective Connolly Burnham.
Day one. Nailing it. It was the late 18th century, so 1771.
Nice.
Well done. Now, Katie, to come to your point, in which country did the offender commit the crime and to what country were they exiled?
Okay, so gotta be Great Britain for the crime and
excellent.
Australia for the exile. That
very
sounds like the
good
penal
guess.
Colony system.
Very
am I wrong? Ooh.
You're right on the first count and wrong on the second.
Oh,
where
so it wasn't
else?
To Australia?
No.
Well, where else did people get sent?
Was it...
Oh, Tasmania. That doesn't count. That doesn't work at all.
New Zealand?
France.
These are great.
Germany.
Was it Africa?
No. I'll give you a hint. Where am I from?
America.
Yay.
Canada. Oh, America.
Oh, always flattering me, Hannah. Yes, and this is why I thought it was an interesting case. It was common practice back then that criminals and ne'er-do-wells would get exiled and sold to the Americas. It was called penal transportation. and in a way, and in a way, it's still happening today. Like, I feel like that's how Piers Morgan got his career started in the US. So this was pre-revolution. This was before.
You're about to get your own place that you stole off some other people that we tried to steal off them. And
I
then
love
you're
that you're
like...
so excited for my revolution that isn't happening yet. You're like, oh my God, so much is about to happen for you guys.
It's so really like Woodstock, but not in any way.
Note how me and Hannah are not contributing anything historically
there
accurate.
There was a revolution? Why?
Say penal again.
I mean, the thing is, when this gets... Hashtag say penal.
Okay, now, so we know it's 1771. We know it's England. We know that this woman is going to get exiled to the Americas. Who was the stolen portrait of? I mean, damn, you'll have to know your history for this question. I'm so mean. I would never know the answers to these.
It's not the Mona Lisa.
Do you know who the queen was at that time? There's a dessert named after her that involves ladyfingers and custard.
Trifle.
And
the queen trifle,
of course. Like every queen I know. Is either... Oh, Queen Charlotte.
Yes. Charlotte cake.
Yay.
Wait, what cake is called...
Charlotte Malakoff. And then the cakes, bitches. It's a Charlotte Malakoff.
I don't know the history, but boy, do I know my desserts.
Oh, yeah. What? A Charlotte Malakoff.
Sounds like a cocktail.
I feel like that's a cake.
I thought it sounded like a bomb.
Oh, God. Charlotte's making a cake.
Yeah, she was married to King Battenberg.
Yeah. Okay, guys.
Okay, sorry.
Come on, let's focus, team. Let's do this. So the offender's name was Sarah Wilson. She was from Staffordshire, which is known for its terriers and oatcakes. Sarah had worked for Queen Charlotte as a maid, and she was a very charming woman. So the queen's mistress had actually spared her execution when she was caught stealing jewelry and a picture of the queen.
Wow. It's all about class, isn't it?
And she was sent to America on a prison ship instead. So question, which would you rather have, decapitation or prison ship?
It's not going to be a good ship.
It's not going to be Carnival Cruise Lines. No.
Yeah. Jay McDonald's not on this not on this ship.
I feel like there's going to be it's going to be a bit rapey.
Yeah. Oh no.
But you get to see America.
I don't know if it was marketed quite the same way back
hey,
then.
You get to see the Grand Canyon.
We like to be in America.
I love that you can bring World. Every single thing back to a musical.
Yes.
The revolution it's like
it's
is.
It's going to be a long episode.
Disney World was so rudimentary back then.
You could totally tell.
Louisa, you have to pick because the universe might be like, hey, you got to pick right now. We play this game in my family. It's called Which Would You Rather? Do you guys play this game?
Oh, yeah, Who Would You Rather? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what would
she plays Who Would You Rather? It's a different game.
So, oh, God. Well, I've just revealed something. Well, I'm a romantic and, you know, I like to think that, you know, like, you know, that I would go off and be... you know, looked after by a lovely man and he would fall in love with me and like, I don't want you to be your servant, my servant anymore. And then it would all be happily ever after and I'd have all my limbs.
This story might be about one of your long lost relatives.
Oh my goodness, she's
the bodily
like
your passion.
The bodily
your passion.
The bodily canons.
Hannah, before we move on, decapitation or prison ship?
I live on the Isle of Wight, so I have had some pretty terrible ship-based experiences. So I would say decapitation, thanks very much.
Yeah. For me, it all comes down to, like, am I facing up to the guillotine or facing down? Like, if I'm facing down, no problem. If I'm facing up, I mean, can I close my eyes? Then still, yes, please.
You know your head lives for 10 seconds.
Eh.
I love Kate.
I feel that way most of the time.
Where do all these random facts
literally, from? Katie has these most gruesome facts. Like
she really does.
Catherine was like, "What does it feel like? What do you think happens when you get like crucified?"
And Katie's like, "Oh, well, it's really horrific. The lungs collapse, and then within 8 days, the blood flow stops to the brain, so you start speaking in a language you think is real, and then your limbs." Yeah. Develop gangrene.
So you live for 10 seconds after you've been decapitated?
Up to 10 seconds, apparently.
I do like jazz hands, I think.
No, just your head, I think. I don't know.
Ooh. Oh my God, your
I'm
head lives.
I'm sure I read a thing of like, people have said stuff. I don't know. It's pretty gruesome.
What would you say if your head was like rolling down the thing, you've just been decapitated?
Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Because it's ironic. Because it's just rolling away.
In Sarah's case, she made the best of it, and she managed to board the ship with a large collection of stolen clothing and jewelry from Buckingham Palace.
Whoa!
Okay.
I know. Can we just put this out there again? Because we brought this up. This is the definition of white privilege. How did she get on a prison boat with all of this? Like, have you got any luggage, miss? Yeah, that's fine.
She put it in her dolly shoes.
They were very generous in 1771.
Those corsets, they fit a lot.
You know,
stuff.
Dolly shoes have only shrunk since the...
So she literally stole, like, the Queen's jewels and shit.
Yeah, so she's pardoned from death. She's like, well, I'll just take some more shit to go on my journey. Yes.
I love her. She sounds... I mean, she sounds wicked right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I love her. She's yeah. cool. She's a babe.
It's hard not to like...
I don't like her.
Oh! Tell us.
She already had a nice job. Why was she stealing stuff?
As a maid.
To the queen? I bet she had nice food in those days. That was a good job.
Maybe she wanted a little bit more. She's Sarah Wilson. Oh, I've had drinks. Okay. I know that's the point, but it's confronting. It's confronting sometimes. I see what you're saying, because in relative positions yeah. of... Yeah, she had a mistress who obviously liked her enough to get her pardon from decapitation. So yeah. whoever her boss was
she
was pretty
was in
nice.
She was in a sweet spot.
She was in a sweet spot.
She had a good
spot.
Enough relationship with her employer yeah. slash probable friend. I just think she's a bit grabby.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Noted. I don't think we need to like deify our criminals just because they're women.
We do that.
I appreciate.
We?
Yeah, we have an yeah. unfortunate.
I mean, she sounds great. She murdered 10,000 people, Hannah.
Yeah, but did she?
Yeah,
she. This is one case where I don't know her background. I can't get into like why is she being grabby. But I do know this, that people who write true crime articles sometimes take liberties with how they phrase stuff. The article I found said, Wilson did not take well to slavery. I just thought, like, as a rule.
No shit. She was so high maintenance.
Yeah, what a snob. Like, as a rule, I just feel like you shouldn't say to anyone in slavery, like, this really suits you, you know?
Yeah. Really you are calling. Thriving.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sarah, she makes it to the States with her bundle of stolen goods, and she's sold to a wealthy plantation owner named William Duval of the Maryland Duvals, and then she manages to escape.
Ooh.
And this is where things get a little bit crazy. So it doesn't say how she escaped. So I just wondered if you wanted to set the scene, a woman like this with a big personality and a lot of clothes. How do you think she escaped?
I think she gets dressed up in the nice clothes and jewellery that she's stolen. And so she comes across not like a servant, but she comes across like a lady.
And then she can go anywhere. And then within reason, not libraries.
Not libraries, no. And I reckon she passes as a well-to-do.
I think she is very clever. And Louisa, you are clever as well. You're so spot on. We don't know exactly how she escaped from the plantation, but she assumed a new identity. She had been studying the behavior of royals for years. Of course. So she just started mimicking them and dressing as them.
Awesome.
So she posed as British royalty in the US, to this day is not that difficult. We will buy it. So she
name drop everyone. She knew everything.
Yeah, with so little. What's so funny to me is picturing this time, again, because we're just so used to being able to like Google information, which I have to do because I don't know anything. And they just would know a little bit about it. Like, oh yeah, those people that are running us. But they wouldn't know everybody's name and everybody's relative.
And just like a bit of insight. And like, yes, we all wear our cuffs like this. But like, oh my God, let's all wear our cuffs like this.
Me and Queen Lady Fingers, we go way back.
Oh my gosh, just wait for this bit. What she named herself.
If it's not Queen Lady Fingers.
It's pretty much Queen Lady Fingers. So she starts traveling up and down the coast. She's getting wined and dined by wealthy colonials. And in particular, she claimed to be someone's sister. Whose sister do you think she said she was?
Charlotte Ladyfingers.
Charlotte Ladyfingers.
See, that's a bold lie.
Queen Charlotte.
Yeah.
She said she was sister to the queen.
That's a bit too flying close to the sun.
But like, so big that who's going to be like questioning that? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I
go with to a point, though.
Princess Eugenie, that's who I say I am whenever I go to the other states.
Nice.
I'm the Eugenie one. And they say they liked my hat at the royal wedding. Yeah. And I say, yes, I like hats.
So, Louisa, I was going to ask if you guys could just make up your best fake royal name. Louisa has nailed it with Queen Lady Fingers. Katie, Hannah, could you guys just make up a little royal name?
Oh,
Penelope Margot Fanciful.
Nice.
I feel like you have had that. I'm worried about how quickly you came up with that.
I like to thank Prosecco for giving me the idea.
I'm a writer, so I'm obviously going to have a very good name. So I'm Lady Beer Bottle Microphone.
If you're going to claim to be Kareen Charlotte... she's from Brooklyn. If you're gonna pretend you're Queen Charlotte's sister, you might as well go for it. So she told everyone that her name was Princess Susanna Caroline Matilda of Mecklenburg-Strelitz.
What? That's too hard to even remember as a lie.
I think that's why it was so effective.
Of the Mecklenburg-Strelitz, what?
Yeah, and that's hyphenated. Like, she was hyphenating before her hyphens were even cool.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not sure they're cool now. Conley Burnham.
I'm right here, Ladyfingers. You have two names and they're both first names.
If you're just tuning in, we're here with Shit Talking by Louisa Conway.
Yeah, that's not gonna work.
Like, no one is joining us halfway through the podcast.
That's such a good point.
Had
that name, though. That name is so
In
good.
A way, we're all Princess Susanna Caroline Matilda of Mecklenburg.
Do you think that was like her squad back home? Like, it was like, we got Caroline Matilda. All of them.
It's the mambo number five.
Yeah,
I got
Matilda in my mind.
A little
bit of Sterlitz, what I need.
A little bit of Ladyfingers makes me me.
And that would be easier to remember too, because she's got a whole song.
Yeah.
What's great is she was almost the forefather of royal gossip, because she said that she had had to leave because there was a lot of infighting in the royal family. So she had escaped to, you know, run away from the conflict, and she was so happy to be there.
Walking Heat magazine.
She
She had a burn book.
She used some other names. She also called herself the Marchioness de Waldegrave and the Princess of Cronenberg.
Wait, she had aliases?
Yeah, she played different people.
If you're going to have a different identity, stick to the same name, surely. Mm.
I don't know. Maybe playing a bunch of different characters keeps you safer. So,
yeah, you can flit if one of them gets busted.
Fun fact. Sarah Wilson had aligned herself with one of the most famous male criminals in American colonial history. His name was Mr. Patrick O'Connor. He was better known by the alias of Tom Bell. He was an Irish traveling merchant. So for a period of time, he introduced himself as Mr. Edward Augustus Montagu, a gentleman of fortune.
What, like, so they were together? Together they do it.
She called herself the betrothed lover, the Princess Susanna Carolina Matilda.
Oh my gosh, they were kind of a little Bonnie and Clyde for a while.
So question, how long does she pass as an imposter?
It depends if people were looking for her, and also how quickly the ships could bring news of England. Mm-hmm. So if they were like, say 8 weeks, 12 weeks, it's the 1700s. I have no idea how long the ships would take. She's either got 3 months of travelling for somebody to out her, or if she keeps flitting, or it depends if people are looking for her from the house she escaped from. But then if they didn't know that she had her big robes and jewels, they wouldn't necessarily know that she's passing as a lady. I feel like she minimum 3 months, maximum 4 years.
Oh, bloody hell. I was just going to say like 20 years.
I think that she got away with it forever.
Oh, I love how all of you think, and that's what this department is about. It's just respecting individual thought and process. She passed as an imposter for 2 years before she's captured by William Duval, who had originally purchased her. Now, William Duval had put out a newspaper ad for her capture, and there were actually pictures of this very ad, which I will post online. It was from the Pennsylvania Gazette, and he put out a description of her and, you know, pleaded for her capture. He described her as this, which I just think is a little harsh. She said, "There's a blemish in her right eye, black rolled hair, stoops in the shoulders, makes a common practice of writing. What a bitch."
Oh, yeah. The most hated.
Looks like we got a writer here.
Yeah, an educated women. Oh.
Well, and I suppose to alert people, like, this is an educated woman. She can write, so you might see her posing. Yeah. You know, she might be employed.
She's
and
a
she
witch. Might be... Don't trust her.
Yeah. So she's eventually apprehended by Duval through the services of an attorney named Michael Dalton. Aren't they all? Ugh. So what happens to Sarah?
Well, this is her second strike, right?
I think she goes back to the house and they fall in love. And actually...
Oh, you are a romantic.
And actually,
wow.
You know, he actually just wanted her back because he loved her and he misses her.
Do you know what? If you were sort of trying to get someone back, you wouldn't go, "She got a wonky eye and she writes real funny and she got a stupid little bag. Come back to me, baby."
That's true.
But I'm with you. I kind of want this kind of...
I mean, I've had some relationships like that.
Yeah. So they're not in love, are they?
No, but I like that you spun that capture into like, maybe it was good. Yeah, what do you think?
It's dark. I don't like it.
Oh no.
I fell in love with this person and now she's gonna die and it's awful.
Did she get her tits chopped off?
Did she watch? Which musical is this?
What did you say? Did she get her tits chopped off?
Is that what you asked? Guys, I have not had lunch. I'm so sorry.
We really need to feed our guests.
I think it was unfair. And I would now like to know what actually happens with tits.
You guys, you know what? It's true crime, but I decided to bring you kind of the Hollywood ending. So
no, give it, it is to a happy straight. Ending. We can take it.
It is a happy ending.
Oh, the truth.
Yeah, the truth. Sarah escapes again.
You are kidding.
Team I'm not Sarah.
Kidding. It's like Shawshank Redemption.
It yeah. is like Shawshank 2, the second escape. I didn't think through that. The first one was too good, so I couldn't think of another.
It would be called like Shawshanked. I saw the second
I wish I could tell you that Sarah fought the good fight. But prison was no fairy tale story. She got her tits chopped off in 1773. Stole a lot of jewels.
Oh my god. She escapes again. I mean, and I don't want to then turn the critique on to William Duvall, but like the man has put out an ad. He's made a point of getting her back. And I sort of admire that he obviously wasn't like keeping her, you know, penned up under lock and key, but like this lady.
He likes the thrill of the chase.
I guess. So Wilson travels north and she ends up marrying British Army officer Captain William Talbot of His Majesty's 17th Regiment of Light yes. Dragoons.
Nice. Wow. Can't touch her now. Nice man owns her.
What a happy ending.
What is the Regiment of Light Dragoons? That I love that.
I don't
Light
know.
Dragoons.
I feel like he was also making things up. It's a vicious cycle.
Match made in heaven. Wilson was never convicted for being an imposter. And in 1774, good. It was remarked in a Rhode Island paper that Sarah Wilson is, and I quote, the most surprising genius of the female
no!
sex.
That was
ever obliged to visit America. I mean, that yes. is until this drunk is women solving crime start touring there.
Happened.
It's a pretty feel-good case because I thought sometimes true crime just ends in true love. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. To us.
I love that.
Drunk women solving crime.
Okay, it is time for us to solve a listener crime. So we've got this. And this was written on our iTunes reviews page, so thank you for popping that up there. Feel free to do the same, because we are good at solving your crimes. When I was 11, Swatch watches were all the rage, and I finally got one. It was beautiful and neon, with a signature plastic protector. See, I remember that. Did you have the protectors? It was like this little band that went across.
I didn't have one.
I'm in love with this person. So I wore it proudly for a few weeks, and then suddenly, after a sleepover, it was gone.
Sleepover with Louisa Conlon.
It's going through a dark time.
All I wanted was some discipline. Some time goes by, and then the same model, with the protector and all, shows up on the wrist of my friend, Belinda. Oh, it always does. It
Such
went missing, so I don't know what happened, but I always had a feeling that she wound up with my watch. She acted
wound
like
up.
I...
Ooh.
Very good, listener.
Hey.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Wordplay, what? She acted like I was just paranoid and weird. What do you think really went down? Help put this painful memory to rest, Swatch fan.
I love that they signed themselves Swatch fan.
Yeah.
That's great.
They are not over this.
I think that's the real crime.
I feel like when someone says, oh, you're just being paranoid, that's because they're trying to do something evil. So I feel like Belinda did it.
Yeah.
I've solved it. Good day.
Swatch fan, that was your introduction to gaslighting. You're acting crazy.
Yeah.
So, and yet, maybe you are. It's hard to say.
Swatch fan thinks that Belinda stole the watch. Was there anyone else at the sleepover?
Belinda wasn't even at the sleepover, according to that.
It's a conspiracy.
So
it's probably
it was
like,
just missing.
This
goes all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Wow. So Belinda wasn't at the sleepover.
Belinda wasn't at the sleepover.
Whose house was the sleepover?
Is it Belinda's mum? If we're saying it's going all the way to the top, it's probably Belinda's mum.
Yeah, the mum.
Oh my god, the idea. The idea of a guy in New York like opening his Mac with swatches instead of Rolex. I got a swatch.
You got a swatch, got lots of swatches.
Yeah, I can afford one myself. I'll just go get one.
Can you describe a swatch to me? Because I genuinely don't think I know what it is. I don't think I know what it is.
Oh,
I remember, was it called G-Shock?
No,
Baby G.
Thing. thing?
No.
There were two main sizes. So there were the small ones and the big ones.
I can't even because I never get one.
Okay, I feel like I should have listened more clearly to Swatch Fan's story. So there was a sleepover. Belinda wasn't at said sleepover.
She was not.
Belinda is Swatch Fan's age and is a friend of...
Yes, she's in her class.
They're best friends.
Okay, so she goes to the sleepover with a few bitches.
Just to Belinda.
Her Swatch gets stolen. Mm-hmm. She goes and confides in Belinda and Belinda says, stop being a little, you know, a little bitch
crazy.
About it. So... Well, okay, look, part of me is saying that Belinda is, you know, the head of this. She's like the Illuminati of Swatch and she's, you know, she's doing it, she's controlling it. But then the other part of me is like, maybe Belinda's like, I wasn't there. I wasn't at the sleepover. I don't care. Like,
it's only circumstantial, but you have to understand pop swatches were a rare commodity. Not everybody had them.
She's got someone on the inside. We need to know who was at the sleepover. We need to know what films they were watching, because that's important for a sleepover.
The bodyguard.
Who went to the toilet at what time? Who went to get snacks?
Yeah. I think we're missing a crucial bit.
What?
Why wasn't Belinda invited to that sleepover?
Because she steals.
Because she didn't have the time.
Maybe if you had treated Belinda a little bit nicer, Swatch Fan, and invited her to your sleepover, she wouldn't have had an accomplice at the party happened to pick up the watch. And she was going to give it back to Swatch Fan, but she said, you know what, Belinda... You're a deprived girl. That's right. I've made Belinda a little bit deprived in this story.
Not a deprived name, but continue.
So it was Swatch Fan sleepover.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, it doesn't say, does it?
So we don't know.
It said at a sleepover, so we don't know whose sleepover
it
was.
I'd say that, like, nobody cares about the watch. Belinda wasn't invited to the sleepover. She doesn't want to talk about the sleepover. She wasn't invited. She actually thinks it's pretty rude that Swatch Fan's bringing it up, because she's like, dude, I wasn't invited. I don't want to know what happened there. Like, I don't care about your shitty watch. I just wasn't friends.
Yeah.
And, like, someone, you know, stole the watch at the sleepover and... But also...
Imagine if you're Belinda, too, and you're there with your mom at the shop... And she's like, well, which one do you want? This is a special treat. And she's like, oh, am I either going to get the one with the neon oatmeal bowl? I'm sorry, that's just the one that
but
I had.
But how many were there to choose from? There were like, what, 220? How many?
There were a lot of... No, not that many.
What are the odds?
Where did you grow
up? She
would
choose it.
We've told stories about possessions and we've told stories about theft. But you know what, Swatch Fan? The people behind these thefts... They're either just looking for love or they're looking for a little bit of discipline. And maybe you can just respect that. Not that we advocate stealing stuff here.
But not that we advocate respect.
But we advocate forgiveness.
Yeah.
We advocate forgiveness. Let it go. Let it go. All right, guys. Thank you so much to Louisa.
Loved it.
Louisa, is there anything that you would like to pluggity plug?
I've got a film coming out called Marine 6, and ironically it's an action movie.
Nice.
But that's coming out in November worldwide.
Fantastic.
Nice. I do stunts and
are you Marine 5, Marine 4?
It's Marine 6 in the sense that the Marine is a franchise and there have been 5 movies before.
Okay, so if you haven't catch up and then
stunts do you do?
Stunts. Well, and I wish that I was beating people up, but it's more me getting the... I was about to say the kick shit out of me. But yeah, lots of fighting, lots of blood, lots of guns. Wow. I've never done an action movie before.
Amazing.
I can't wait. It sounds
and I'm American in it.
Oh my God.
I'm from... Oh my Christ, where am I from?
Do your accent.
Portland.
Oh my God, I'm from Oregon.
Are you shitting me?
I'm from Oregon.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I'm from Oregon.
It's where everyone's from.
Wow.
Duh.
All right.
Yeah, so watch that. And thank you for having me. It was...
Thank you for coming.
Bloody brilliant. Loved it.
Thank you.
Drag Women's Loving Tribe.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.